Hello, and welcome back to the pod show that you're listening to right now. It's Eat, Drink, and Be Scared, if you can believe it or not.
I can't either.
Today we're drinking juice, we're eating some corn dogs. On the day I didn't bring any chocolate milk, we're talking about kids.
Right.
And pets, and then being able to see ghosts.
And spirits.
And spirits and all that kind of good stuff. So, but Tanya had some interesting thoughts on this, so we'll let her lead off today.
This is Tanya, by the way. Hi. We also have Bill and Tom.
Yeah.
And hi, I'm Bill.
And
Bill.
Danny.
Ryan. Danny.
Is joining us, special guest this evening. So I was just screwing around on Facebook, found some things, and the article didn't really have anything to do with ghosts. It was just weird things that kids say that's unnerving. So there was a bunch of them that just were kind of like, yeah, whatever. But there was...
like what? I want to know, like what?
Here's one. When our dog died, my two-year-old son said all her thoughts left her body.
Interesting.
That isn't, like, deep.
It is deep.
And then another one is time real or just something we measure with a clock?
That's nice, too.
That's actually absolutely...
Colden has told me one time that I smell different when I'm awake.
That's just creepy, though.
Yeah.
That's like,
You fart in your sleep? Or is that because you stop farting when you sleep and just fart all day?
But he goes, you smell different when you're awake. I'm like, oh.
This is one of my favorite ones. Jake, who are you talking to? Myself. Well, what are you talking about? I don't know. I wasn't listening. So a lot of them are just kind of silly things like that. But then there's a couple of them. Like, this one was just interesting. When I was small, my grandfather, who I called Pop-Pop, always promised to take me fishing. Things always came up, or I wasn't in town to go with him, and when he went. He died when I was 7, and I never had a chance to go fishing. I have a 3-year-old daughter now, and I've never spoken to her about my Pop-Pop, and I've never talked about him in front of her. Once she came running into the living room where I was sitting and said the following: Daddy, we have to go fishing. Why do we have to go fishing? Because Pop-Pop says you have to take me. So how, if she's never heard these words, where does she get the connection to put those things together? That just is,
well,
maybe they overheard?
Yeah, I was gonna say, or someone else told them, hey, you know, maybe grandma's still alive.
I don't know. My mom died about 11 years ago, and my son was only like one, not even. But I think it was maybe a couple years after that. He said a couple of things, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but I remember distinctly feeling like very, I don't know, off-putted, because it was just so weird and random that he would bring up something that would just allude to my mother when he had really no concept of that. So, I mean, I don't know. It's just weird sometimes, the things that come out of kids' mouths and how it can hit you.
Mm-hmm.
So
this is the one that really just intrigued me. My 3-year-old nephew was at my cottage. He's asked me numerous times about the girl over there while pointing at one of the back bedrooms. I live alone, so I just dismiss it as really active imagination. Then some friends are visiting, and they have a daughter around the same age. Twice in one day, she asked about the pretty girl while pointing in the exact same location. Definitely caught me off guard, and I didn't know what to think. Then at Christmas, my family was over at my place, and my nephew points at a picture of my wife and asks if she's coming to visit us here, or does she just stay at the cottage where I live? My wife died 10 years ago. How, like, that's...
Maybe he kept her body.
I don't know.
In the closet.
That's
and
a good
is she
idea.
Still there?
Taxidermy.
It's just mummified, mm-hmm. Sitting in a rocking chair.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the very Norman Bates, suddenly.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting, to say the least. Is that what spurred the concept for this episode?
Just kind of, there were just a few of these.
Here's one. Say the darndest thing.
I'm going to read one that I found on Reddit. And it says, my daughter was 4 years old when we lived in this house. I was a single mom at the time, and it was just her and I alone in the home. I got an uncomfortable feeling in the bedroom, particularly in the closet area, but never thought much of it until one evening. I had put her to bed, and I was doing chores, and I walked by her room and heard her whispering. I listened for a bit. I thought she was talking to herself, but it definitely was a two-way conversation, with her saying, okay, stuff like that. I walked in the room and asked her who she was talking to. She smiled uncomfortably and said, no one. I took her out into the hall and she wouldn't say anything but I could tell she was afraid. Finally, we went outside the house. She told me there was a man in her room who didn't want us in the home. And he had told her to tell me that we should leave. I moved out a month later. She has not had an episode like this since.
Ian has dreams before where a little wet boy had came up and was talking to him. And he's like, he's just covered in water, like he's gotten out of the swimming pool. And he always wants to try to come in the house in my dream. And then Danny and I were talking about it not too long later. There's across the street from our house is a canal where a kid died in that canal about the same age. So it's really interesting that Ian has picked that up without, no one's ever talked about it because I didn't know that at the time. So it's really strange that kids can pick that kind of thing up.
When I was shooting Ghost of Menory, one of the girls that I was doing it with, she had two kids. And they would always talk about the man whose feet was in the floor. Because clearly he would be walking on the ground. If there was a ghost, he wouldn't be walking on the floor. He'd be walking on where the dirt was. Yeah. And then he would walk in there and just stare at him. It was a cowboy, and just would walk in there and just stare at him, at the kids. And they didn't feel scared. They just would wonder what was going on.
They should have got a little doggy.
They did, I think. Maybe not. They did. They had tons of dogs.
Dude,
they
were get along, little doggy. Come on.
Cowboy.
Joke.
Oh, car. Okay, sorry. Hold on. Pause for laughter. All right, next.
I missed that, too, to be honest.
Wow, guys.
Right over
I caught that one.
I don't know how any joke could go over your head. Holy shit.
My hair's down today.
That's true. So why do we think kids see ghosts?
Yeah, so right down to the point. Why kids more than adults?
Generally would be innocence and the not building up that doubt. And that would be the same thing that, like, Lloyd Auerbach told me.
Wait, why does innocence matter?
Because it's not filling yourself with self-doubt. It's not filling yourself with self-doubt in the sense that, like, I am so determined that there won't be ghosts that I have kind of the reverse self, hypnosis. Not that's reverse psychology.
Rather than developing your intuitive mind, you go analytical.
Yeah, I would sit there and see, like, there could be a ghost right in front of me. And I don't believe in ghosts, because we see with our brains, and we don't see with our eyes, I could just be blocking it out.
You don't think
they'd be naive to something. It's not like a product of social conditioning.
So children's minds are the most fertile, right? Our minds are the most fertile when they're young. They take on the most information. And to process that information, I think sometimes is really complex for children. So maybe
they perceive it.
They manifest.
That's the other side. That's the scientific part. Is that, I mean, you can sit and say it could be because they're more naive to the rules and so they can bend the rules easier. But the other side of that is because they're naive and like you were saying, they're easier to slip between like what's imagination and what's real. That's what their minds are geared toward. That's how you learn like how to deal with experiences in life. Is you kind of expand your mind and then reel it back in as a kid. So,
well, here's another interesting topic, too. With the mind growing and trying to gain as much information as fast as possible, are there other parts of the mind that are working differently than they are as an adult, so therefore they perceive things differently?
You mean like on a different wavelength?
Yeah, because I believe that, as you know, scientific studies and everything has proven that energy cannot be created nor destroyed. If we are a concept or a byproduct of energy after we die, that energy's got to go somewhere.
Okay.
If it's not a visible wavelength that we can see with our perceptual constructs, like Bill was talking about, as a kid, if we have more capability for wavelengths and to see them because our mind is still developing, do we still have the ability to perceive that new wavelength, perhaps?
So what you're saying is we're born with something that we then lose tune to. Like we pretty much tune out.
Either nature versus nurture causes that to happen, right?
Well, that's true. And when you hone something, you're obviously losing material all the time.
And if you have an adult telling you, no, this is how it is, this is how it is, this is how it is.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, so you'd have to maintain that naivety, and you're not like just being conditioned by somebody.
Well, see, why are you saying it's naive, right?
Well,
it's a concept of nature.
I'm not saying naive as like a negative thing. I'm just saying naive as opposed to what we would consider most full-grown adults. And Bill, would consider it just ignorant. If you know and then you decide to ignore it, that's ignorant. But if you don't know it, then you're just naive to that stuff. Well, and then therefore, anything could be possible.
I think it's a process of, like we were talking about, nature versus nurture, right?
Well, right.
If I'm raising my kids in a way where if they say that they see something spiritual, I'm not going to tell them, listen, that's ridiculous. I'm going to say, well, explain to me why you think it's spiritual and what could cause it not to be, right? Like if the TV came on by itself. That's a xenonormal phenomenon, something that appears could be a paranormal, but could also be explained pretty easily scientifically, right?
Right.
Spins on the table all by itself.
Yeah.
That's but there's times story. Also that you can say to a kid, hey, by the way, our house is haunted, and suddenly everything, if you're a little kid, you're just going to think everything is haunted.
Absolutely.
And actually, when I was in elementary school, there was a basement it was like the one house in California that had a basement in L.A., and we didn't go down it because his dad told him that it was haunted. And he said, if you guys go down there, watch out. It's haunted. My dad says it's haunted. So they were dead set that there were ghosts in there. And I did too. But at the same time, it's like, I think he said, leave my shit alone. Don't go down there. There's ghosts down there and they'll eat you. Uh-huh. But that because of that, they assumed everything they heard in the house was a ghost. So we're second and third graders. And we'd hear something late at night. We're like, ghost. So...
Well, see, you had the opposite happen. You had that psychic driving where someone gave you the concept of... there's ghosts down there, and you being young and perceiving that ghosts are still real for you at that age, you associated the truth behind that, whether there wasn't any to begin with at all.
Right. At that point, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I mean, there is some point to this. Like, the three of us have had a little bit of experience where we've talked to different kids who have been seeing ghosts, you know, quote unquote, and we saw that it was pretty much the product of, you know, one brother ribbing another brother and saying, hey, you're seeing this, right? Nudge, nudge. So there's also that. That goes on a lot. I don't know. I'm still inclined to say that kids are going to be more open to things than adults are, just because of the fact that by the time you become an adult, you've already decided what is real and what is not. And just like anybody else, when you have a view on anything, be it religion or politics or if that cat over in the corner is real or not, then, I mean, you're just going to stick to whatever explanation you have, because that's the hardest part as an adult, is if you start bending what you have accepted as true, then you actually have to question everything about your reality. Whereas a kid just has questions about reality to start with. Everything is a question.
Well, there are also times, too, where you may have believed them as a kid, and then as you grow up, you realize that it may not be true, and then you have an experience, and all of a sudden you're like, holy crap.
Right.
All this stuff that I've thought was real actually is real, right?
Indeed.
So, for me, the concept of why kids see things that are more spiritual is the fact that their brains are still developing and the fact that they're more open to sensory phenomenon that we as adults, for whatever reason, are not capable of perceiving.
So the veil's thinner for children. Yes.
Okay, so I want to read this story and then it's going to segue into another part of this. And first of all, I do want to, we didn't talk about what we were eating and drinking, did
yeah.
we?
Yeah, well, we kind of did. We did
with corn dogs.
Yeah, we touched on the corn dogs. And
I got to pay attention to this thing more.
And the fact that I don't have beer. Chocolate milk, even though you guys are like, give me shit. And I bought Runtz.
Oh, I love banana Runtz are the best.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, so I'm going to read this other story and it's going to segue into another part that we're going to talk about. This. Leave it alone.
I feel like they made one batch of Runtz one time, and that's what everyone is still eating.
They're like Chiclet gum in World War II.
They don't go bad.
What?
They don't go bad.
It's just sugar.
Well, they sell like a layer of enamel on the
outside.
What's
the expiration date on that box? Never. And I feel it's a courtesy, really. I think they're just like they made something up so people feel good about it. But I don't think those expire.
There isn't one.
Best Buy. So there's no expiration.
3,000.
September 2021. So that's 2 years from now.
Yeah. You have no idea. They're just doing that
for nutrition facts.
A year from now, what?
They're just doing that for the nutrition facts.
Yeah, they don't go bad. They don't go bad.
Yes, Best Buy. You could still eat these in 20 years.
All right, I'm going to read this story. Okay. It says, when I was a teenager, I used to babysit my cousin, Elisa. She was little, maybe almost two, maybe a little older, enough to say sentences. It's pretty well written. I like that so far.
Mm-hmm. That could be a wide age.
I'm giving her a bath before bed when she looks down the hallway and gets terrified. She starts to cry. At that moment, my aunt's Pomeranian starts to go nuts as well, barking and growling in the hallway. The atmosphere in the room became uncomfortable, and I started getting scared. I took her downstairs from the third floor of the townhouse to try and calm her down. I asked her what was wrong. She said something along the lines of, the man with the black eyes was there. When I continued to pry, she looked up at the second floor stairs, and her eyes got so big, and she began to cry, bringing her finger to her mouth, saying, shh, while shaking her head, no. Okay, so the other part is, yeah, that's a little scary thing. Dog. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about animals for a little bit because there's some, that's another part of this thing because I know how sensitive people can say an animal can be, and I want to know what our thoughts are on dogs seeing ghosts or cats or animals or any of that stuff.
Personally, so, go ahead, Ryan.
I just actually wanted to bring this up. The American Kennel Club has a post about if dogs can actually see ghosts. And
only if they're papered through the AKC, right?
Right, yeah. Border collies can't see ghosts for shit.
Yeah.
Well, it talks about how your own perceptions may play a part in your dog's behavior just because you don't understand what they are and you feel something strange happening, like this dog barking down the hallway, right? We don't know why it's barking. The little kid says it's a ghost. Since we can't speak the language that the dog is trying to speak, we assume that it's seeing something and we're using our own perceptions to say it's a ghost.
So it's xenophenomenon, yeah. And we're just labeling it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So here's something that says, if a dog is standing in a corner barking at something visible, could it be that he senses something out of the ordinary, or perhaps he stays close to an object that is associated with a deceased family member, whether it be a favorite chair or a side of the bed or whatever? This doctor, Dr. Birch, points out that when a dog barks at what appears to be nothing, an owner sometimes thinks it's because he's seen a ghost or something he can't. Basically what he's talking about is the dog has a sixth sense, and that sense is its ability to perceive things that are different than what we're perceiving because it feels different to the dog.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So I was going to jump in and say, to me, this is the more scientific thing. I mean, like, when you talk about kids and ghosts, you're only talking about
human condition and behavior.
Feelings, conditioning, whatever. But when you start talking about animals, there's some science there. Like, they see in UV light that we don't see in.
Well, and another thing is dogs can sense barometric pressure, and they can smell disease and that kind of thing.
Well, right. Their hearing, their sight, everything is elevated well beyond what we can do.
And that's another thing. The dog could be barking at a change in pressure because it's bothering the dog, right? And since we can't see that, we think, oh, shit, there's a ghost in that corner, when the dog's like, it's heavy in here, right? There's a completely different situation.
Well, and it's kind of funny that you were talking about the senses because, you know, everybody relates to cats and them being able to sense death before it happens, after it happens.
Cats
being the harbinger of death.
Well, right, and another thing that the cat got its personification as a familiar to witches, too. So that already has an occult.
Well, I mean, that all goes back to Egypt.
Right.
So, I mean, you're talking about death and cats, but I think, honestly, I've had dogs and cats, and if I was going to think one of them was staring at something that made me think, what are you doing? It would be cats over dogs.
I don't know about that. I mean, I know that cats can see in UV light, which is something that we can't
Dogs
see.
Can see in UV light as well.
All right, but when it comes to cats and looking at things, they're already sketchy already. Like, I don't trust cats at all.
Right.
It's because cats are assholes, but...
Yeah, I agree.
It's because they deal with ghosts all day. Just like Greg Kinnear in that movie. He was an asshole.
Yeah, he was.
Ricky Gervais.
Now, here's the thing. I've had several different dogs, and I have lived in houses that have had a lot of strange things happen in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's because of a change in pressure or a change in like the EMF field that they're feeling, but if I knew something strange was happening in that area and they acted weird, I wasn't saying, no, that's 100% proof, but it helped me realize, hey, maybe I'm not the only one that is sensing or feeling something from this area, right?
So because you're going to use the animal looking at something as corroborative evidence?
Not necessarily.
Just read their body language?
Right, because you can tell if a dog is scared.
Well, I understand that. I can totally sense that out of my dog. I mean, like, the total persona changes.
So are you trying to say, though, that dogs do not see ghosts? Cats do not see ghosts? That it's something else? That it's just their nature?
So here's how I feel about ghosts. We have no scientific meter or scientific gauge.
Or proof that ghosts exist, but anyway.
Well, right. That's what I'm trying to get to. Science, for evidence to, right now the theory, it's a theory of ghosts. We have a lot of people who experience them, but we have no concrete evidence, which is what proves, takes your evidence from your theory to evidence of proof, right? We don't have any of that. So everything that we have is conjecture, it's theory. So the things that we are using are the things that we have readily available to us, right? We have EMF detectors. We've got cameras. We've got UV light, right? We've got...
body posture.
Right. And that's what I'm trying to say. Like, that piece of equipment, just because it's alive, is not any less cooperative than an EMF detector.
Actually, when you put it like that, I'm inclined to agree with you. Actually, I think I'd say that's more.
Right, because it has the ability to use intelligence to reason what it's dealing with.
Yeah, I'd be more inclined to pay attention to something that suddenly changed to something I didn't see.
Right.
I mean, you're...
Like, let's say that your dog is walking in the hallway, and all of a sudden it stops and looks in the corner and is barking at something, and then you see it get kicked by something that's not there. Right? That's going to be more evidence to me than your EMF detector going beep, beep. Beep, 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 beep.
Right.
Right? Because now you've got a living entity reacting to something that you can't see that it may or may not see. I have no idea. So, and then if you have multiple dogs acting the same way, right, that's also a big deal.
Well, so we've talked about birds and, or dogs and cats, but I was going to say I think birds are ones that could probably sense ghosts and death. I don't know. I think birds go... do the same thing. I've been in houses where they have pet birds and they go off for weird random reasons or they'll repeat things that haven't been said to them that were from a previous owner after years. Mm-hmm. I mean, like what, and it's been proven that birds have the neurotransmitters that we have. They can mourn things. I mean, they still feel, you know, somewhat of an emotion. So that's all been proven.
It's funny that you said that, because I had a buddy of mine in high school who... He had a parrot who, whenever his father wasn't by the parrot, it would cuss at him. That was just what they did, mm-hmm. right? And he was like, fuck you, right? Well, his father died in the house of an aneurysm, right? They were all sitting around the bed. The bird was in the other room in his bedroom because he couldn't get the bed in, like, all it was just in the other room. Well, all of a sudden, he passed away, and then you heard the bird go, fuck you, right? So they were like, oh, well, he left. Like, literally, he left his body,
yeah.
And the bird saw him. So it's really interesting that you said that.
Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like, I mean, dogs and cats are just what we relate to because they're the most common pets. Yeah.
Dogs can sense death.
So can cats, yeah.
Cats, I think, can sense... It's been known, like, cats clearly know when somebody's dying. You know, we had... When I was married, and my wife was pregnant, our dog just knew she was pregnant and mm-hmm. followed her everywhere. Followed her, just wouldn't leave her side.
Yeah.
You know, they can sense those type of things for life, clearly, or upon death. There's certain people that, like, a dog just starts howling because somebody just died.
Yeah.
Type thing, like, in the house or, like, the person they love. Cats, you always hear about the cats that say, hey, I think I'm going to lay in your body until, you know, you die because I know you're dying.
Well, let me ask you this. I know that the dogs can sense cadavers and they can do all sorts of types of search and rescue, but they also make dogs that can sniff out bombs, right? What are they smelling? Are they smelling the electromagnetic field? Are they smelling the current? Because if they are smelling EMF, then is it possible, if ghosts are a form of EMF, since we're using EMF detectors to detect them, is it possible for these dogs to smell these ghosts? I mean, how does that work?
Well, I'm not a bomb doctor, but I'm going to say that it's the explosive that they're smelling. We have a friend that's taking their dog to a smell class right now.
Like C4 versus
It's basically any sort of chemical compound that they can, the way their noses are so sensitive that they can smell, like, basically just the tiniest of compounds. And so...
So they just train the dog to smell different types of compounds?
And our friend...
their gustans
mm-hmm.
for smelling. They just smell it. The ghost.
No, oh, yeah.
A friend of ours has his dog in smell training classes, and he's learning how to pick up on certain smells and find them.
That's cool.
It's just, they're just doing it for fun, but it's good activity and exercise for him, but it's...
That sounds like the kind of dog you train, if it's just for fun, it's like he's training to make sure no one gets away from him out of his basement or something.
Well, he's going to train it to smell people's weed, because he lives in California, so let's go to somebody's house and say, like, hey, find the weed, and he's going to go and do that. You know, the cadaver dogs is different than, it's different than a dog lying next to somebody and sensing their death. You know, some will say that a dog, or that you immediately begin to decay, and that's what a dog can smell and understand. Sometimes they say, well, they could just smell that your body has just stopped working, and they can sense that you're no longer breathing, and they can no longer feel your heartbeat and all these things. A cadaver dog just smells dead body because you've been dead for 8, 10, 15 right. hours, and they just right. go look for that smell. But when you just die, and the dog knows, and a lot of dogs do. A lot of dogs will know that, like, their owner just died.
Well, like, I was going to bring up this. I think Oscar, the cat, the one that we all heard about on the news that was visiting the people in the nursing home, that nursing home where the cat would go and yeah. visit them a couple days before their death, and then that patient would die. And yep. I think it happened, like, 3 or 4 times in a row.
Yeah, we talked about that, yeah.
So, I mean, like, what do you think they're sensing there?
I mean, maybe the cat's doing it on purpose. Like, it's killing those people. It's
basically yeah. just...
It's got a hit list. It's the skinwalker hit list.
Cats can be... They have a sense of nurturing. And I know that animals can sense when another animal's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, it's they learn that so they can just attack them and kill them and eat them. And maybe they could just sense the pain. They just know at this point, like, you're at your weakest. And that's why they just kind of sense.
So if animals are sensing all of these things, what's to say that if you're spooked, they're not also sensing that and then trying to find the trigger?
That's a really good point. Yeah, if you're scared, if you watch a scary movie by yourself and you're the last one in the living room and you've got to get down the hall and turn the lights off, you're going to turn those lights off mm-hmm. and sprint down the hall and jump in bed as fast as you can so the monster can't get you before you're under the sheets because you have that scary mentality.
Yeah, you're primed.
If you just got done watching, you know, Billy Madison, you're just going to turn the lights off, quote the movie, and skip down the hall and go to bed. It's that mentality that it puts you in. So mm-hmm. if you're already scared and the dog can sense that.
That's
so
a good point.
You're saying like, there's some type of fear pheromone that they're...
Well, even if you're like on the back of a horse.
Right,
if
a horse is going to be exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
They're spooky animals. They get spooked all the time.
If you're not confident on the back of a horse, it's going to be like, what is on me? Get it off.
Right. Or if you jump, they're going to jump. Yeah. And then they're going to spend the next 5 minutes all jittery.
So you're emotional. You're kind of like emotionally in a tandem there.
So there's another theory to this, and I don't want to go too deep into this, but I did have a conversation with somebody that said, oh, well, animals freak out at other ghost animals.
Well, I was going to bring that up.
So they'll say, well, dogs freak out at other dogs. They don't always freak out at other humans. Dogs will be, hey, what's up, dog? Cats freak out at other cats. So if they're freaking out, there must be a ghost dog there. Which then I think...
What? So hold on. Well, I can see a ghost cat tempting dogs to run into the road to get run over.
That's terrible.
Hiding by the wall, then when they run after it, goes back in the wall, and the dog just hits the wall.
Well, where's that partition then? Like, humans can only see human ghosts, dogs, ghosts.
That's well, people true. Say that they can hear dog ghosts, though.
Yeah.
And they always call them demon dogs, but at the same time, well, it's because a dog, if there was a dog that was a ghost, and you walked into a house and it started barking, it's unfair to say it's a demon dog, because the reality is dog... When it was alive, probably would have barked.
Yeah,
it was
probably a nice dog. They just like the alliteration.
Well, and that's... So I was going to bring that up. That's kind of what Bill is alluding to, sparked this in my mind, is the other part of that coin is it seems like there's a lot of reports about ghost animals. I mean, like, they come up a lot more often, I think, than ghost people. People see spectral animals quite often.
And then again, why don't we see... And we talked about this, too, but ghost dinosaurs. I think, Tanya, you had something for this.
Oh, yeah. It's because they don't know... to show themselves to us because we didn't exist back then. So
that's
we're basically the same as a tree or a rock.
But what... So when my dad was growing up, he lived in a kind of a larger house and there was a pasture on the side of it where they had a bunch of stock animals, farm animals. And whenever he would have this, I think it was a niece would come and visit and she would talk about how that she could see the animals out in that field 20 years later. Even though there were no animals in that field that changed, she'd look out there and say, look, I can see these animals. Like, where does that come from? How come you can see animals, or, like, even if you're just out there grazing?
Okay, so there is something called a quartz oscillator, where under certain heat and pressure conditions, the stone quartz can actually record an image, and then that image can be replayed if those conditions are met. NASA has been using quartz oscillators for years on satellites, right?
But they're recording, they're controlling what's being recorded. You're saying a stone that's recording time. For billions, quadrillions of years, this thing has been...
Right. But what I'm telling you is if you have a place that's high in quartz content, like the old castles overseas that are made out of shale, that
well,
have
I mean,
lots of quartz in them.
Here in Idaho, our ground is full of quartz.
Well, right. But what I'm trying to say is, let's say under certain heat conditions... these quartz took an image of a cow out in the middle of this field, mm-hmm. right? Now, every time those conditions are met, it projects out like a hologram, and people are witnessing it.
I could understand that if it were like a phenomenal event that 5 or 6 people witness at the same time, but I think it's just one person relating to the other people who cannot see it.
Right.
So then it's just like a individual experience.
And that's another thing, too. Like, my mom had a cat for 27 years, right? And then after that cat died, she said that she would go to bed and she would feel the cat jump up on her bed and fall asleep where it normally fell asleep. Now, is that because it's a ghost? Or is that because she got so used to it over every night over 27 years that it's just imprinted that feeling and that concept into her brain?
I'd call those phantom pains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's almost to the point this thing was an extension of her, and it's the same times when somebody like loses a leg.
A limb, yeah.
And they feel that leg. Their foot hurts, mm-hmm. and there's nothing there to do. And I think it probably was the same thing. If she had a huge emotional attachment to that.
Yeah.
It's like when you go to the bathroom and you don't have your phone. And it hurts because you're like, I'm in the bathroom and I forgot my phone.
Your thumb just starts
texting. Yeah, and texting. It hurts and you're so used to just, you don't know what to do with your hands.
Maybe. It's the
same thing. Yeah.
You just start raising them.
Man, there's a good idea. Maybe that whole thing about kids and animals being able to see ghosts easier is because it's a coping mechanism. We've all developed different coping mechanisms for dealing with the things that we don't understand.
So you're saying it's more like an empathic entanglement.
That they don't control. Like, kids might be able to, I mean, it's just one of the options that kids have, and so that's something that they can readily explore.
So you're suggesting that, let's just say you did see ghosts when you were a kid. Mm-hmm. At one time, ghosts would come in every night and be, hi, Tom, how's it going? You're like, hey, what's up? You're having this conversation. And then one day you're like, I'm an adult, and I don't want to think about this anymore. And you just shut it off? But you since then have seen things or experienced things that still were what you deemed paranormal.
Right.
So why were those okay to go past your little barrier?
Well, because...
But why did you block that one off?
Well, it's that whole... The keys in that transition you were talking about where you become an adult and decide that these things are part of your childhood. You are then deciding that this stuff is no longer legitimate because I am moving past that with logic.
Okay, well, hold on. What's the difference between a ghost and an imaginary friend then?
Nothing.
Perception.
Yeah, perception. That's the only thing. And I remember, so there was that's kind of funny. There's this old TV movie I remember where this lady, like, locked her imaginary friend in this carnival ride and left him. And, like, she was freaking out about it when she was a kid. And then during a different part in her life where she really needed it, she visited the same carnival. And lo and behold, he's been there locked away since he was, like, 10. He's still a 10-year-old and she's, like, 35 and meets her imaginary friend again. So
imagine the emotional, like, strain? And right. That would be one messed up.
Yeah, I can't even remember.
Hey, sorry, I forgot you here. Like, no, it's cool. Let's just keep playing.
Deo, I think it was called.
So, but with that also, it's like,
my brother.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was just going to, real quick. Does anybody ever have an experience that you've ever talked to where they said, I had an imaginary friend? Where they physically thought,
I had one, yeah.
It was the coolest one ever. It was a Bigfoot.
His name was Pete.
And you physically saw this person. You
I felt did, they were standing yeah. Next I drew pictures of him all the time.
Okay, so what happened to them?
He ran back to the woods.
No, I grew up. After an extended period of time, my parents would start telling me you have an overactive imagination.
Take him out of your life.
Yep, exactly.
Did you at any time ever try to introduce this person to your friend? Mm-hmm. Were they in the same room at the same time? We're like, hey, we're all here.
I thought I was weird. I was epically weird.
So Tanya's got really for this.
Well, it was kind of how he was talking to Tom about the seeing things and experiencing things. My brother, from a very, very young age, saw spirits, entities, somethings all growing up, like all through high school. He had a couple of other friends that were very sensitive to things also. And then he hit a point in his adult life and said, I can't handle this anymore. I don't want this to keep happening. And it stopped. That's so it.
He just has logic and control there.
Yeah, and he hasn't experienced anything since then. Like I think he said that there might have been like a couple of very minor just things that he just sensed or felt, but not things that he actually saw or heard. like he used to have.
And see, I'm the opposite. Like, as a kid, I don't remember. I didn't have any imaginary friends. I didn't see anything. But then I got in my car wreck, and that's when I started opening my mind up to the possibility of other things. And that's why I started investigating. And my sister, on the other hand, did exactly what your brother did. She saw all kinds of stuff growing up. And by the time that she was going into high school and trying to work and trying to go to school and trying to do sports, she didn't have time to, like...
She was just shutting off some of the noise.
Yeah.
Right. You tune some of it out because you have a life to deal with. I think that's totally legitimate. It just seems like a natural progression. And then part of the problem that you look at and it makes it really easy to write kids out of that is there's a lot of this done just for recognition. So one of the things I was looking at was it was a psychological evaluation of an 8-year-old who had been seeing ghosts pretty much nightly until he was 10. And the parents had pretty much just kind of wrote it off as, you know, maybe it's something you saw on TV or something that's scaring you. So the psychiatrist pretty much turned around and decided that he was having hallucinatory episodes. And it was pretty much brought on by stress and advised the parents to not fight in front of the child so much because it's causing him to lash out. That was a psychiatric evaluation.
Well, that's perfect because that's the segue to what I was looking for into stuff like tulpas and thought forms like with the Bell Witch.
Mm-hmm.
The Bell Witch was about a woman, or actually a young girl who was going through puberty who no one knew at the time that she was getting very, very, like, horribly abused, right? And all they knew was there was this ghost that all of a sudden appeared out of nowhere and was beating the shit out of the father. Had no idea why, was scratching him, biting him, pushing him, doing all this stuff. Come to find out, you know, it was because he was abusing this girl, and through some sort of psychic or some sort of energetic concept, she made something to basically protect her from what was happening.
So she, like, astrally projected that.
Yeah, which is right. The form. That's where tulpas come from. The Buddhists believe in tulpas as a construct very, very strongly. They get a bunch of them together, and they all pray for a guardian to protect the temple, and it makes this entity.
Well, there you go. How many entities of history are based completely on anger and vengeance?
Or how many are just concept in general?
Protection.
Yeah.
Well, perfect example is like the Philip concept or that the ghost story that you told where everyone started seeing it, right? Where you have intent plus energy equals manifestation, mm-hmm. right? If we make up a ghost story and we tell 10 other people, listen, this is what we're getting, and all of a sudden they start trying to communicate with this fake ghost and start getting information that we made up, is it because they're really good guessers or is there something going on with that?
Right.
Or it's like your story, Bill, where you told this ghost story 15 years ago. Now when you come back, everyone knows about it. And it's a legitimate shit, right? Is it because it's actually there and people are believing it? Or is it somehow brought itself into fruition?
Willed into existence.
Yeah. Which I guess can go to, if you want to see it, you're gonna see a thing. And I do want to go back to the ghost hunt that the three of us went on that one time where, going back to the kids, there was a family that was splitting up. And they were, like, the father moved out. They couldn't afford it. He had to move back in. He started living in the basement.
Yeah, perfect example.
And then suddenly, it all started off with one of the little kids saying, I saw this guy. And he was standing by the barn, by this old truck. And then we went ahead and kind of talked to these kids. And the other kid says he sees it. And then we said, hey, you guys sit over here and just see if you can make the ghost come back. And we set a little recorder there, and we found out just the older kids going, hey, look over there, there's a ghost. And the little kid says, I don't see it. And he goes, no, look right there. And he goes, oh, yeah, I see it. Really just being kind of told that this is what you're going to see and believes it. Side note, we did go to where we thought that ghost, where the ghost was supposed to be seen, and my camera started freaking out. We couldn't record in that spot.
Kids had photos or nothing. It was very strange.
So even though we did have a situation where we saw one kid telling the other one there's a ghost, and the other kid looking at his older brother going, well, there's got to be. If you see a ghost, then I got to see a ghost. And we're going to tell mom and dad we saw a ghost. And even the dad who didn't want to move out, now he says he sees a ghost because here's my inn. I can stay now. I don't want this family to break up.
Yeah, but that's that classic example of family turmoil where there's, I mean, it could just be a ploy for attention. There's always that. I mean, and that happens quite often with kids. They do that with just about every other thing you can think of. So paranormal is just another avenue.
You know, kids say weird things. My daughter one time, she just was sitting there eating her lunch, and she said, "My lunch is gone." And I said, "Where'd your lunch go?" And she goes, "I don't know. It's gone. I can't find it." I assume she ate it. She starts looking all over for it, and then she walks up and she says, "I think it's on the roof." And I thought, that's the math you did, that you got from A to B, from A to having a lunch to B, it being gone, it's on the roof. And I always tell, I still make fun of her for that story. And it's a funny story, but it's like kids' minds, like, where did that logic come from? Where'd you go from, my sandwich is gone, it must be on the roof? But she had this look on her face like, "Dad, I got it. I figured it out. It's on the roof." And she was dead set. That's where it was. She wanted me to go look. I'm like, "It's not on the roof. You haven't been outside. It's fine."
And that's exactly it. It's a possibility. It's a possibility for kids. It can exist there. Whereas you already, like, logically, that doesn't make sense. We're just going to say no at the beginning and not even investigate. And that's why kids
see more than adults. Yeah, but what would you have done if it was on the roof?
I'd blame a ghost. Okay. It'd be a ghost.
It was a ghost.
I would go steal a sandwich.
He was hungry. That's an easy one.
I don't know.
Well, hit me again.
No, it would have eaten the sandwich, not put it on the roof.
Whoa, what if it was a squirrel ghost? That's the other thing squirrels be ghosts.
Yeah.
The other thing is they say ghosts stick around because they don't know to go into the light. What animal's going to know to go into the light? In fact, most of them will run. Unless it's a deer, it'll just stand and stare. But beyond that, most animals wouldn't go in the light. So you think everything would be
a ghost.
Yeah.
Is there an afterlife for animals? Or is it like that Buddhist? All dogs in heaven. All dogs.
Come obviously on, man. A whole movie about it.
So does that mean there's dinosaurs in heaven?
Of course.
That must be a big heaven.
Think about all the dinosaurs.
Why wouldn't heaven? Why would heaven have boundaries? Like one giant electrical fence?
No, like a red velvet rope. No, you're out.
So like the whales and goldfish,
like everyone else.
That's true.
They all live
like,
dead.
Is there like a heaven a giant, ocean?
A giant like fishbowl in the sky.
And then because you're already dead, you don't need to breathe anymore. Is it just a bunch of whales lying on the
whales
on the beach?
Or do they just like float? Fly around.
What if we're under? What if it's underwater? What if we're underwater?
And it's backwards.
Well, yeah. It'd be like ether, right? Wouldn't they just be able to swim wherever they wanted to? True. Or maybe they don't. Maybe they
would
don't.
Would they even have a physical body?
No, but they'd still be the image, the ghost of it, right?
If we don't have a physical body in heaven, do we just float?
There's the thing. Are they going to have an image in heaven, or are they just going to come down as an image representative of something we can recognize?
Well, then it wouldn't be.
When your soul isn't contained in your body, is it still the shape of your body?
Well, yeah, because if you whatever you die in, that's what you wear forever.
Is that true? Is it the Beetlejuice land after you die?
That's like you're wearing jean shorts. You're not even paying attention.
Oh, then, come on. You don't want to die wearing a pair of shorts.
But what if you did? Like, I'll just borrow these real quick. By the way, I visited my dad one time right before he died, and I didn't bring any shorts. He's like, "Oh, borrow my shorts." And I was like, whatever. And they were a pair of denim shorts. And that's the last picture I have of him and my son together, like it's a little, but I'm wearing, I think I'm going to Photoshop out the denim shorts, because I was wearing denim
shorts.
Just
make them longer.
Why not? Just make them, it's deliciously vintage. Just keep them.
No, they're bad. I think I need to Photoshop the shorts out.
The edges?
What's that?
Are the edges frayed?
Were they cut offs?
No.
They were ass length cutoffs. Don't lie.
They were cutoffs.
They weren't.
I have a lot of pictures of me as a kid in the 80s.
The pockets are hanging out.
Yeah, those I'm proud of.
Hot like pants.
You are really one jump shot away from seeing my balls in these shorts. So I feel okay about those. When I had the other ones on, I was a full grown adult. And that's fine. And I hope there's no jorts in heaven. But.
There are no jorts in heaven.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great movie. I would watch that movie.
Would you?
No jorts in heaven? Absolutely.
Some guy walks up and he's wearing a pair of jorts, like, "No, you're gone."
I just sent him straight to hell.
Go get in the line over there. The guys in the Crocs, go get over that line.
They put all the jorts wearing guys in one area and then shun short people in there for their hell.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Recycling.
Yeah. So I don't think we have a conclusion of this yet. I think we're just. I think we've said some really good stuff. I don't know.
I think animals can see ghosts.
I do too.
You think what?
I think animals can see ghosts. I don't know about kids, but I think animals.
I think knowing that kids say the weirdest things, but when they come up and say something that doesn't make sense, the man who this, the woman who that,
okay,
grandpa this and that.
Okay, hold on.
That's the stuff that you go, that's pretty cool.
Let me tell you a story. Colden was about 7 years old when this happened. And we were at Walmart, and he kept looking at this lady down the hall, like down the aisle. And I'm like, what are you doing? Because he was like staring at this woman. And as this woman starts to walk by us, he stops her and says, you have a woman standing behind you. And the woman kind of looked at him a little strange. And she's like, oh yeah, she's got long hair and blue eyes. And she has a birthmark right here. And the woman lost it. Started crying, started freaking out. Like in the middle of Walmart, which I guess isn't out of the ordinary. But she goes, what else do you know? And she goes, she says that she's okay now. And this woman, who has never met my son before, is squeezing him, like holding on to him, just bawling in the middle of Walmart. Her sister, dark hair, light eyes, a birthmark, had died the day before from cancer. Oh,
wow. I feel this is a story you should have started the podcast with.
I didn't want to. I wanted to wait till the end.
Yeah, you cynical bastards.
But here's the thing.
Through the magic of editing, I'm going to start it. This is the end.
I'm going to start with this. But he's done that more than once. So I don't know if he's hypersensitive or, like, strangely
guessing. But you're sensitive.
Hypersensitive, yeah. Or just still sensitive, since he has a dad who isn't conditioning him out of that and is saying, like, no, that's okay if you're open.
I mean, think about this, too. I was in a car wreck when I was 16, and that's when I became more sensitive to things, mm-hmm. right? Danny's very open to things, right? So
I've never turned mine off.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Like, we come from, when it comes to these kids, we're not going to be like, listen, don't do that, you're full of crap. But I did say, you know, maybe we should learn how to handle this without, you know, making people look crazy in Walmart. Mm. So
that's, if you're shopping at Walmart, you're already crazy. Yeah, so, I mean, seriously, come on. I don't think you discourage it. I think it's a very interesting thing, because there probably have been people in time that have been super sensitive and were forced to shut it off. So,
real quick, I want to touch something really on the very end of this. What do you think about emotional and spiritual empathy, which is where you could feel something that someone else is feeling? Because I know kids do that very easily.
Oh, kids are empathetic. Just
and animals, too.
And animals are empathetic.
Right? So absolutely. Do you think there's a correlation between empathy and...
So, I mean, like, my personal opinion about ghosts is that they're here because of emotions. Like, super strong emotions is what keeps that energy here. And so right. That would make sense. Empathy would be the very tool you would use to pick that up. And, I mean, like you were talking about the subtle changes in pressure and things like that animals can pick up on. I think that, absolutely, they can pick up in subtle changes in emotion. I mean, you see that all the time in your household pets.
Well, and just in your brain alone. Like, if you think happiness, it's going to go pink in one spot, versus if you think sadness, it's going to go pink in another spot, right? And if we've talked about fear having a pheromone, then why can't something else, right? Why can't happiness have a pheromone?
Or I think that there's a general intuitive that everybody has towards somebody. It's like when you're sitting across from somebody that you know fairly mm-hmm. well, and you go, there's something wrong, isn't there? And they're like, oh, yeah, I was trying to hide it. Generally, we can't. So we all have this aura that everyone's going to grasp onto, because you're going to catch up those one or two little things, and they click. I know if there's something wrong with somebody that's very close to me, and I'll ask them. I know when they're excited. Oh, you have something to tell me. You don't. I do. I've been trying to hold this in. You can tell when something's bothering them, when they're too deep in their head, when they're sad, when they're... You can always tell where somebody's at. So I think that that's the same thing with everybody. Clearly, animals can. How many times does an animal stare at you and maybe cower because maybe they know something's wrong? Or sometimes a dog just gives you a little love because you're down. These are things that I feel that kids do. Kids know. Like, my mom set the emotional temperature of my home growing up. And if she was in a bad mood, she made sure everybody was in a bad mood.
No,
but we also knew that if she was in a bad mood, run. And it was the little things that we knew. You catch those one or two little things, and you're like, oh, I know what's going on. Bye, I'm going to go to a friend's house. See you later. And then you run off.
Well, it's...
Master reading body language.
Yeah.
Being able to feel those emotions and anything, it kind of like you were saying, where it is and where. Like, there's that saying, you could cut the tension with a knife. Like, that's obviously not something you see, but it's just... I've been in those situations where you walk in on something, and it's like, oh, damn. Like, you feel that energy in the room. And it just, it hits you when you start feeling it. So
permeating.
I think, yeah. I don't know if it is a chemical that gets released from the parties and it gets picked up by you, and it triggers something in your brain.
There are hormones that come out. I mean, there's serotonin, and there's all sorts of hormones that get flooded, but I think that they also get released into the environment around you. I mean, I would love to see an experiment, because, I mean, dogs, just for one, can they remember your faces, and they know their owners to such an extent that I bet that you could see that in their brainwave patterns. Oh. And if you were to take a dog whose owner had died and put pictures of their owner up in front of their faces, I bet you would see a similar response in their brainwaves. And then if you took and studied that dog during those times where it was sitting and randomly barking in the living room or next to where his owner or whatever was on the couch, I wonder if you'd get that same response. And if so, would that elicit more of a tangible picture of them seeing something? Would that verify it for you or more corroborate that?
Well, do you think? Interesting. I mean, my dog, I can pull up in front of the house. My dog's in the behind the house. Mm-hmm. I could pull up in front of the house and get out of the car, and she knows I'm there. She will bark to let me know.
Without line of sight or anything.
Without being able to see me at all.
Well, she's going to hear your car. She's going to know.
Well, here's the thing. I drive a hybrid. Or if I have someone else drop me off. It's like I get out of the car, and she knows I'm there, and she will bark like mad. Well,
and that's the thing. There must be, like, an illicit signature in her mind that says, Dad, Ryan, not Danny, Mom. You know what I mean? Like,
dogs have a sense of time, which is uncanny.
Well, they do, and it's they've done experiments where it's basically the sense of smell. So if you come home, if you leave and you come home basically around the same time every day, they use their sense of smell as basically their clock. Your scent that's left in the house is, you know, this strong when you leave, and then throughout the day the scent dissipates, and then they know that once it hits a certain point, you're going to come back. So that's kind of like their alarm clock for when you come back. And they've done experiments where they would have someone leave, and then they would have someone else that's in the house that the dog is used to having come and go, bring a t-shirt that the person had just been wearing and bring it in the house, which completely threw off the dog's system. And then the person showed up at their normal time, completely surprised the dog because it wasn't the right smell.
Mm. Interesting.
Interesting.
So that's how dogs usually tell time, is just through smell.
You know, if we just randomly, something sparks a memory and we get sad. We think of somebody who we lost and we get sad. That has to happen for dogs.
Oh, animals grieve, absolutely.
So maybe that could be even part of the barking. Suddenly they just remember. Suddenly they don't know how to handle an emotion.
Or what was that dog, the one that Richard Gere was in the movie, Hayachi?
Harambe. No, Hirachi.
Harambe.
Harambe, the dog. Yeah, no,
that's a big-ass dog.
Hirachi. No, not Hitachi.
That's different. Stop. Don't talk about Hitachi.
It's something with an H.
Hayachi?
I don't know.
Anyway, this dog was rescued by the character that Richard Gere played and had him for most of his life, and then the guy died, and the story was this dog would go pick him up at the bus or the train or whatever he was getting off of every day. And even after this dog died, or after this guy died, the dog would go to the bus and sit there waiting for his owner to get off this train bus thing, right? And he did that until he passed away, and they put up a statue for it because everyone was like, oh my God, this dog is so...
Hachi. It's like Hitachi.
It's kind of like Hitachi without the...
best friend, one's somebody else's.
They have videos of that happening with kids. They're like, the dog knows, all right, the kids are going to be here soon, so it sits there and waits for the school bus to come.
Right, it's the same concept, yeah.
My mom's dog did the same thing. Couldn't bother my dad, stand by the front door forever.
Hmm. Oh, when one of my dogs died, we got her cremated, put her ashes up on the mantle, and for the next probably week or so, our other dog would just sit in the living room, would just stare at the mantle at her box of ashes.
Like, she comprehended exactly what was in there.
Yeah.
I'm sad.
And that can't be by scent, because, you know, everything would be completely incinerated.
You don't know.
Well, it's kind of like animals that mate for life, right? Like, they understand what it's like to lose the mate, and they don't know how to handle it, so they just grieve in the same spot until they die. Mm-hmm. It's sad to me.
Well, they mate for life because they can't really talk. So it's not like one of the dog looks at the other dog and goes, what are you thinking about? Like, they don't ever have to have a conversation. That's why they last.
You're saying there's no divorce rate among
offsprings. There's no choosing offsprings. Which restaurant to eat at.
And it's not like one of the dogs are like, hey, we're going to go down and, you know, sniff some
butts over at the junkyard, the other dog doesn't go, oh, well, let me get ready. They both just go. That's why those relationships last. That's why you have, like, ducks that last forever, because they don't have to change clothes. And one of them's like, do I look fat? No, you look great. Let's go. And they fly off happily ever after. That's my thought. I could be wrong.
And
I got a question for Ryan. Ryan, you're from the Nolans area.
Yeah.
There's a whole host of different animals down there. That must be related to supernatural, or at least, you know, witchcraft.
Like the Lugaroo or...
No, anything. I mean, not anything like super out there. Stuff that's actually existent. Like, you know, I don't think alligators, don't use them in any kind
what
of
are you asking?
Voodoo magic or anything down there.
I think he's trying to say, do alligators see ghosts?
Do alligators see ghosts? Oh, are there anything down there? Are there
that's
any other
that
animals?
Was the longest, just to get to that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do alligators see ghosts?
Alligators, owls, any of these other...
Owls definitely. But I don't know about alligators. I know that you use a lot of their... You can use alligators and crocodiles in magic. Right,
mm-hmm.
And they are associated with guardians, and you know you can use them as
They're potent, right?
And
the
boots.
Potency
and boots and wallets, yeah. But there are
wallets.
They have been trained to guard property like dogs, right?
Well, but that's because they'll attack everything. So if I said guard this, if you try to go near it, they're going to attack you. You can't say, "Wow, Bill trained that. Alligator to burn his beer."
I know people that they have an alligator trained well enough that'll sit by him on the porch.
Okay. What?
Yeah,
I would not risk it. There's no way.
Well, if you get it as a baby and you let it grow up to be a big one, that's how it works.
But why would it not eat you and still want to eat other people? How does it just designate?
Well, I didn't say it eats other people. I just said it. It's kind of like that. What was it? It's a fake story about a woman who trained squirrels to bite her ex-boyfriends on the face. Did you ever see that?
No.
Apparently, the whole story was she trained squirrels. She was an animal trainer that trained squirrels to attack a picture of him. So when they saw him, they went crazy, started biting him. It's a completely bullshit story, but it was funny to think about.
That is funny.
So.
Well, all right. We could condition one of our pets to come back, I think.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if alligators see ghosts.
Well, I feel that we've talked more about... I mean, I think it was a really good start with the kids and that whole thing. I think the animal thing is more fascinating and left with a lot more answers.
Yeah, I think there's more answers in the animals than the kids.
Absolutely. The question thing, we just kind of like, hey, I don't know, kids are just kind of dumb. Maybe they see ghosts. But I think the animal thing was kind of interesting. I kind of like that.
Me too.
Talk on that. So with that, I think we're gonna close this out.
Yeah. I mean, what do you
think? If anybody does have any theories on this, they should message us on our Facebook page.
Or creepy stories about what their kids have
seen. Or our website.
Yes.
Or our Instagram. Or via smoke signal.
Right. However you can find us. Yep. Like, eat, drink, be scary.
Let us know. Also, other stuff you want to talk about also.
And, any other cool topics.
And if you have kid stories, I'd love to hear some kid stories. If anybody has other stories like that. I never had any of that stuff growing up. I told you the story before where I saw the UFO when I was a little kid. But it was so close that it had to have been something else. Because it was 30 feet from me. Hmm. And there's no way. And it was in the center of LA. Like nobody, I couldn't have been the only one that's seen it. So it had to be something else. But with that, anybody else have anything they want to talk about? Any kind of want to,
no.
Cool stuff going on?
No.
Oh, well, no, I don't. I made all that up.
You want me to answer for you?
Well, yeah, I made all that up. Okay, nope, we're good.
No.
Okay, with that, so thanks for listening.
Yeah,
and we will be back
for really episode soon. 27.
All right, you have a good night.
Good night.
Good night.